Welcome to Truncated Thoughts, presented by Prescouter. Truncated Thoughts is a brand new podcast where we'll discuss one hot topic in the world of healthcare in about 5 minutes. I'm your host, Jeremy Schmerer, and I'm joined by Ryan LaRanger. Ryan did his postdoctoral training at Yale in biomedical engineering, his PhD in genetics and developmental biology, and a master's in the business of bioscience. And to preserve my ego, we'll just say I have slightly less education than him. With that, let's dive in. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for being on the podcast. Appreciate it. Today, I wanted to talk to you about digital health, which isn't a new topic, but it's something that people are talking about as it relates to healthcare innovation. And in a broad sense, what do you make of this movement?
So digital health is, in a way, a movement where its time has kind of come, especially in regards to COVID-19. We're having far fewer in-person visits than we used to for obvious and important safety reasons. But that's one of the reasons why the technology use time has come. Another element, which is very important, is the development of better sensors and better processing of data. So in other words, many sensors that you can look into, which a person can wear, that can give you data about how they're behaving and what diseases they have and how they're progressing. That data is very complex normally, but we're getting better at processing that into a form that's actually functional. So those are the broad buckets from a technological perspective. The other thing that I would bring up that's very, very important is adoption. And this is something which has not been firmly addressed yet. Doctor behavior, very hard to modulate. They're extremely busy. And so that's one side of it. The other one is purely regulatory. In other words, what are you doing to protect the data? How are you avoiding HIPAA violations? Because if you have those, you're going to have a very, very bad time. It's extraordinarily expensive to have a security failure when you're dealing with healthcare data.
So as you start to think about, you know, how does a company position itself for its digital advancements, its adoption of digital technologies. You know, where does somebody start? If you're, say, maybe it's a two-part question. If you're a large company, where do you start? If you're a smaller company trying to break into this space, where do you start?
So let's start with the small companies and then work our way to the big ones. If you're a small company, it depends a lot on your core competency. Generally speaking, small companies are very good at a core technology. They've either developed an algorithm, which is very good at indicating, for instance, you know, what's going on with a patient's arthritis. There are a number of these kinds of technologies, or perhaps they have a better sensor. Where they often struggle is with the adoption side of the equation. How do you get a doctor who's a champion to say, I will use this thing, and developing an understanding of what one could call the continuum of care. The way that you map this out is by generally seeing how does a patient with my disease of interest go through the healthcare system? Where are they interacting with a doctor? When is this data being used? If you can map that out and have conversations with clinicians who might actually use your product, you can get a much better sense of how to take your very, very excellent technology and turn it into something with a higher chance of being adopted. So that's the smaller player space where very high technology. That's an assumption that I would make. Before I move on, is that generally clear or does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that tracks. I think a lot of people would identify with, you know, trying to make sure that you're part of this continuum of care and where you might fit into the life cycle of healthcare. Now, what about for the big companies?
Right. And it's so for the big companies, it's almost the reverse, where they have very, very robust networks with their clinicians. They have a better sense of what they want. At the very least, they can call them up and ask because they're generally, they have their salespeople going and providing other things. For them, it's often a matter of what enabling technologies do I need to solve a problem? And how do I avoid cannibalizing my own sales with something new? If you're a big company, the problem often is, you know, I'm already selling something which kind of does this. Why would I make something that competes with my own thing? The reason why, of course, is because you want to avoid disruption, but that's always an unknown. So what's often helpful for the larger companies is develop a sense of what already exists. There are a number of these buckets of technology, haptic sensors, so touch sensors, basically, Fitbits on steroids, if you like, just novel utilizations of the smartphone, right? If you're aware of what these things are and what they're capable of doing, then you have a better sense of when you need to make the leap towards a higher technology application and some of these digital sensing tools. The other part of it is just keeping an eye on what the doctors need, what they're asking for. Especially right now, many doctors' offices are making the transition to more digital visits. And some of them are handling them well, some of them are not. So maintaining that relationship can be helpful as well.
A lot of great stuff in there. So when you think about, you know, using something like Fitbits and haptic sensors, things which can bring in more patient data and inform sort of the continuum of care, you know, can you speak a little bit more to what specifically can be, you know, improved within that continuum of care? How are doctors and healthcare providers going to be using this type of data?
That is a good question, but it's part how are they going to be using it and part if they will be using it at all. A thing that anyone who's developing anything in this space needs to keep in mind is that doctor time is considered to be incredibly precious. It is at a premium. And so if anything that you're using is a whole new tool they're going to have to learn, adoption is going to fall off a cliff. There are a number of companies which are developing these kinds of tools, and they're finding that adoption is very poor, in part because there's just doctors don't want to use it. They want to use what they're already very comfortable with. And so when you're looking at how do I turn this into something that can actually be used, part of it is a matter of making UX very important, right? Improving that side of the equation. How do I make it simple? How do I make it incorporated into the tools that already exist? The other part of it is not necessarily making new sensors, though there are a couple of new sensors that are excellent, but using machine learning and AI tools to get better insights out of the data that already exists. You know, huge amounts of data are coming in all the time on things like Fitbits, Apple Watches, a number of other remote sensors that we already have access to. But it's using that data and getting it to clinicians quickly as part of the continuum of care, which is essential.
Perfect. Again, lots of good insight there. Now, you mentioned when we first started the podcast about COVID-19, right? So looking at the rest of this year, you know, sort of as we wrap up this episode, what can you tell our listeners about, you know, digital health in the year 2021?
So the interesting thing about COVID-19 digital health is for a while before COVID-19, digital health was something that was being pushed very hard, but a number of local ordinances often were preventing expansion of digital health. There just wasn't much of a regulatory appetite for it. And so even though COVID-19 with the development of the vaccines will sort of necessarily be on some level or another transient, at least in terms of the magnitude of the impact on digital health will last much longer than COVID-19's time in the spotlight as it stands, because those regulatory changes are not going to be rolled back. Now that those processes exist, they will continue. And so now it's a matter of, can you find the right technologies? Because I would argue the gold standard for digital health does not yet necessarily exist. EMRs are still considered to be somewhat clunky, still good, but not perfect. There are apps being developed for them. The cell phones are getting better, but it's not all the way there yet.
Excellent. So this is just a giant space. And I know that we've only scratched the surface, and there's so much more to unpack here, but that is unfortunately all the time that we have for today. And to our listeners, we hope you enjoyed our first edition of Truncated Thoughts, where we were discussing digital health. Obviously, this is sure to be a conversation that we revisit in a future episode. Now, if you've made it to the end of our conversation and you liked what you heard or want to weigh in on anything that we've mentioned, please send us an email to jschmerer@prescouter.com. That's jschmerer@prescouter.com. And we'll be happy to engage in a dialogue with you if you want to. So thanks for listening, and we hope to see you again next time. Thanks, Ryan.
Hey, thanks. It was a pleasure.